Y'all look bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Glad you're here. Well, we're staying over at the Merritt Inn, and have a blessing this morning. There's a guy in the lobby, and he's got an Anoka sweatshirt on. How many know where Anoka is? Amen. Anybody from Anoka? Oh, you are? Oh, amen. Well, anyway, I saw that. And I said, is that where you're from? And he said, no, we're from up north. I said, what year did you graduate high school? And he says, 1971. I graduated in 1964, but back in North Dakota. But anyway, I says, did you know Steve Nelson? He says, yeah, he's my football coach. Did you know his son? Of course. He graduated with him, or was right around. Well, Steve Nelson went to NDSU and played football for the Bison, where I went to college. He was All-American about 2-3 years, went and played for the New England Patriots. I started telling him, I says, yeah, I know Steve. I mean, I was with him the day he was drafted by the New England Patriots. I answered the phone. He was so shook up, I gave the interview to the TV announcer. And so it just went on like that, and, well, that's great, you know. And they were, where are you from up north? Park Rapids. That's where my sister-in-law is from. That's with us. And they knew the guy I went to college with, Al Lundum, in the pharmacy for fraternity, and Jeff Fick, Fick Drug. That's just a blessing. I just like meeting people, and I got to give them track, you know. And, I did it again, brother. I put it on the wrong way.
Engineer need to come forward.
How many haven't been to church this week yet? Just here, maybe. Okay. Yeah, well, you'll get used to me. Maybe. Thank you. You mean there's going to be a next time? He had his fingers crossed, you know. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 8. Oh, I'm glad I'm saved. Oh, say that I'm glad that I'm saved. I'm saved. Oh, glad that I'm saved. Amen?
Yeah.
Isn't that a song?
It is now.
Something like that. Oh. All right. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about money. That's all those preachers ever talk about. That's all they ever talk about when I go down to that church. Is money, money, money. That's all they ever talk about at Walmart. Yeah. Amen. You ain't boycotting Walmart, are you? Okay. Well, that's all they ever want down at that church. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's just read a couple of verses, and then we'll pray, and then we'll see what we can get here this morning. And 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, to know, wit, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Now, that's not the grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's not the meaning there. He says, "Moreover, brother, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." This grace has to do with giving, the grace of giving. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Amen. And God will give you grace to give, by the way. I'm just going to ramble on this morning. I'm going to have a blast up here. Honestly, I'm having fun. The day has started out real good. I hope it ends real well, okay? But God will give you grace to give. He'll give you that. He's the God of all grace. Amen. And He'll give you the grace to give. Look at verse number 2, though. I'll say some more about that. How that in a great, not just a trial, a great trial of affliction,
the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. I am not looking at anyone that is in deep poverty in this room this morning. I'm going to say it right now. But these people ought to put you and me to shame. They were very liberal in their giving, and they were poorer than Job's turkey. Amen. Again, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They gave far beyond prudence. They gave without being begged or coerced. I don't like a guy to get up there and, you know, and just, you know, beg for money. Hey, amen. You don't either. Right? And that's a complaint, of course, about a lot of churches. And they got all these projects all the time and always hitting their people up for money and more money and more money. These people, they gave without being begged or coerced or some kind of a promotion or, you know, some tears flowing because we got to, you know, get some money. All right. Now, Lord, we thank you for this morning. God, you are so good to us. Thank you for the good rest. Thank you for the good services thus far. Lord, the response of your people, your children, Lord. And God, I hope and I pray that folks have been helped by what has transpired this week. Lord, not just the preaching, but the singing and the fellowship and the prayers, Lord, just been all a blessing to me, and I hope to others. And Lord, that the things that have been preached and the things that we have learned and then this day's services, Lord, would go a long way and get a lot of mileage out of them for the cause of Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray, amen. Now, here's a couple of chapters here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9 on giving. You know, there's a lot of talking. You ought to be familiar with these chapters. You ought to be familiar with them. There's a lot of talk going on about the economy. Right? So shut your TV off. I'm watching Fox News because I'm at the motel. I don't have cable at home, and when I go to a motel, I'm like this a lot of times, channel surfing, you know, back from the Weather Channel to the Sports Channel, Weather Channel, Sports Channel, you know, I get a kick out of the Weather Channel, and some people like the cartoons. I like the weather, and anyway. It's going on all the time about the economy. And no matter where you turn, paper, I mean, this thing about, don't get mad at me. Well, might as well get mad right now. Okay, all these government employees getting all these pensions, retiring at 50. I'm 65. I mean, man, I missed my calling. And all these pensions that a guy gets and all the money they're getting for sitting on their, well, you know, and for the next 30 years when some guys are still busting their, you know, trying to make a living. Now, I know some of you got mad about that, but I can't help it. And let's just face it. Your government's trying to bust you. Let's face it. Amen. I'll tell you something else you ought to face about the whole thing. You spend too much. Yes, you do. Oh, yeah, you do. I missed my call. I missed a great business opportunity a good number of years ago when I had a little money, made a nice sum of money. I should have bought some land and built storage units. Because you got a 3,000 square foot house or 2,500 square foot house or whatever. I grew up in about a 600 square foot house, you know, and four or five kids. We slept on top of one another. I mean, and we got nice houses, and then we got to have a double car garage, and we got to have a shed in the back, and one of those, you know, they have these things you can get at Walmart, And then after that, we still got too much, and we got to rent a storage unit. So I missed, I mean, that there's a lot of money in storage units today. You spend too much. Face it. Face this. Times are going to get rough. They're not only getting rough religiously, as far as the apostasy in the body of Christ, but even spiritually. If you live for Jesus Christ, you are going to be persecuted. You are in a minority right now. And when some particular religions get in a majority, then they pick on you, pick on the minority. Right? Times are going to get tough economically. They are going to do that. But that does not relieve us of our responsibilities. That doesn't mean you ought to hold back on your tithe. Good morning to you. Good morning to you. I hope you have a good day in church today. Hope you stay for the 11 o'clock service too. Because we're just getting started. I mean, we still have a church to support. We still have missionaries to support. And, face this. We just might have to trust God. Well, isn't that a novelty? Huh? And so, I want to talk to you about this thing this morning. Now, we got a couple chapters here on giving. Now, there's some buzzwords in this chapter. And let's look at them. Look at that chapter 8 and verse number 1. We saw that already. It says grace. You got a lot of grace going on here. Look at verse number 6. And he says, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you this same what? Grace also. Look at verse number 7. It says, oh, this is a great verse. And I hope I'll get there, but I think so. I might not get there, so let's talk about it right now. Okay? Because I got something good to say there. He says, look at, therefore as ye, this Corinthian church, abound. That's another buzzword, by the way. Abound in everything. They abounded in everything. What in? Faith. They had a lot of faith. Utterance, speaking. Amen. Talking about their faith. Knowledge. Hey, now I know knowledge puffeth up. But they had a lot of knowledge, and you ought to get knowledge. You ought to get as much as you can. And he says, and can all you get. And he says, and in all diligence, man, they were not lazy. And in your love, whoa, the greatest thing, and your love to us, watch it, see that you abound in this grace also. Wow, this grace of giving. I mean, we want to speak better. We want to have more faith. We want to have more knowledge, and we want to work, serve the Lord, and we want to love one another as we ought. But he says, you ought to abound in this grace of giving also. Now, so you got that word grace. Look at verse number 9. For you know the what? Grace. A verse you ought to memorize. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at chapter verse number 19 in the same chapter. Just quickly, Bible study time, right? This is Bible study time. And so I'll be teaching and preaching. That's just my method. He said, verse 19, and not only that only, but who all was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this. Say it. Grace. Good. Grace. Grace. Look at chapter 9 and notice verse number 8. And God is able. Praise the Lord. There you go. There's the ability of God. God is able. Boy, he's able. He's able to save them that come to him. Save them to the uttermost. Them that come to him. Did he save you? I mean, some of us were kind of hopeless cases. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And God saved us. He's able. And he's able to make all grace, this grace of giving, abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. One more shot. Look at verse number 14. 14. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. So there's one word. Now there's another one. I already alluded to it, and it's the word abundance. Look at chapter 8 and look at verse number 14. We saw that word abound over there. He wants them to abound in verse number 7 in giving, just like they do in every other gift. And notice, by the way, some people have the gift of giving. It's listed in Romans. Let's go there once real quick. Let's look at it. Got to flip and flop. Romans chapter 12. And Romans chapter 12. And notice verse... Let's look at verse number... verse 4. It says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." Notice verse number 6. Having then what? Gifts. You know, God gave you a gift or gifts when you got saved. Okay? Some have more, some have one, maybe more, some have several. He says, having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, preaching, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Some people are just very good at ministering. I'm not. But I minister. You follow me? I'm not a good preacher, but I preach. he says, or ministry, let us wait. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Some of you may have the gift of teaching. But we all ought to teach. Some just have a better knack at it. Okay, again. Then he says, verse number six. I was back in Corinthians. Okay, back to Romans chapter 12. And or ministry, verse number 7, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Some people are just real good encouragers. I'm a great discourager. some people have the gift of discouragement. That's why I don't look at you. He that exhorteth on exhortation. Some people just really have a great gift of encouraging the brethren. Or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Just start with the simple things, like tithing. Some people really have a gift of giving. But we all ought to give. Are you here? All right. Or he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy, don't have that one, that's for certain, with cheerfulness. We ought to, some people just have a great gift of being merciful. But some people, but we all ought to be merciful. Back here to 2 Corinthians. All right, you see that. There's the gift of giving. And so he says, that's a word, abundance. Look at verse number 14, 8:14. But by inequality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be an equality. Look at verse number 20. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this, say it, abundance, which is administered by us. I'll give you one more, chapter 9 and verse number 12. It says, for this, of the administration of this service, not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also for many thanksgivings unto God. I just saw that, by the way. It's supplieth the want of the saints. That word want can be used and interpreted in the Scripture as lack. Right? I don't have the Scripture to prove that to you, but you're preacher's probably showed you that already. It says, not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. I mean, when these people got the saints that got this offering, and it was the taking an offering for the poor saints down in Jerusalem, it abounded. It helped them to praise God. I mean, your giving, you churches of Macedonia, caused people to praise God. Ain't that a blessing? I mean, something that you do causes someone to give glory to God? Well, amen. That's kind of what it's all about, brother. Amen. Glory to God. Now, now also, there's another word here, and I want to give it to you. It's similar. Look at chapter 9 and verse number 5. It says, 9:5, look at it. It says, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they should go before unto you and make up beforehand your, what? Bounty. Like bountiful. From bountiful. Whereof you had noticed before that the same might be made ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Look at verse number 11 in the same chapter, 9:11, being rich in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us, here it is again, thanksgiving to God. Amen. Last night, my wife, she was sitting in bed, and I got a call from my son-in-law, and he told us something, and it was, he didn't, I says, got any news? I should never ask that, you know. My pastor, he said, I never call home when I'm on vacation or out of town. Because the first time he did, a guy split his church. He was gone. But what's going on? And he told me a particular thing. And he didn't think it was big, but my wife and I did because we've been praying about it. My wife's sitting in bed and going, praise God! Thank you, Lord! And so, what a blessing. And her prayer was answered, but it caused thanksgiving to God. Again, I say it again. Look at verse number... look at here, chapter 8. I'm sorry, this thing fell off, Brother Latimer. That's okay. Look at chapter 8 and look at verse number 2. We read it already, but how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their, say it, liberality. Liberality. Now, that's not talking about, Bill Clinton or President Obama and the liberals, or Ted Kennedy. And, they've messed that word up. I mean, the Bible, when it talks about liberals, it's talking about giving, taking what you have and giving it. Take your Bible, go to Proverbs chapter 11. Did you read Proverbs 11 this morning? Huh? Did you read Proverbs chapter 11? Amen. Look at Proverbs chapter 11. What the liberals do today is they take your money and give it to someone else. But in the Bible, it's taking your own money and giving it to someone else. That's what a liberal man is. Now look at chapter 11 and notice verse number 24. He says, look at verse 24. There is that scattereth and yet what? Well, what you sow, you shall reap. Amen. And you always reap more than you sow. Hello. You know that. I'm a gardener. You didn't know that, did you? I put in one bean. I sprout them first. And then I meticulously put them about 6 inches apart or so. And man, we have no beans. We had beans. didn't we, Jane? She's working her fingers to the bones and getting bony fingers because of all the beans we got. And it's because I scattered them all over. I planted them. I'm the planter. And he says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth, holding back. I hope you don't hold back. Well, you just don't know, preacher. I do know. I've been saved 35 years. I remember the first time I heard the word tithe. I says, what's that? My wife, we were in a deformed church. Reformed. Sorry. We were there. And actually, the guy preached the gospel. He said something about tithe. I says, what does tithe mean? And I said, she says 10%. I had 10 bucks to my name almost, just about 10 bucks. I gave it. I started giving when I, right after, I got saved May 5th, 1976, met my wife May 14th, 9 days later, Israel's birth date, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, and then 6 weeks later, we got married over here on Fridley Street. You know that. The Lord told you that. And we weren't married yet, but I started tithing 1 month after I got saved. I ain't stopped yet. I've never withheld my tithe, even though it was tough. And I've been poor. I've been poor since I've been saved. Hi. I love you. He says, there is that scat. You know, people just get, they just, talk about money, man, or hell. Well, Jesus talked about it. You know that. He talked about stewardship all through the Gospels. And he talked about hell. And those are the two things. So right before I went into surgery, Brother Stevens, I preached a message. I preached this message. I preached this message, and then I preached a message on hell, and I preached a message on money. I says, I want you, if I die, man, I want you folks to remember me real well. I want to go out real good. He says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to what? Poverty. What you put in is what you get out. He said, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and I don't mean adipose tissue. I mean satisfied. That's what it is. The liberal soul shall be made fat. I'm a satisfied man. I like to give. Your life started by someone giving. You wouldn't be saved if God wouldn't have gave his only begotten son. It's only reasonable, dear brethren and sisters, that we give. Because you got your life because someone gave. Hold your place right there. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also. So liberality, that's a word. And we go back here to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 8 and 9. Look at, what are we looking at? Liberality, look at chapter 9 and verse number 13. It says, whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God. Wow. See, again, there it is. Thanksgiving to God. God getting glory. He says, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Well, if a man that's in subjection to the Lord, then God will run your pocketbook. You know, when you get baptized, you got to leave your wallet in your. Amen. Leave your wallet in your pants when you get baptized. Amen. Get that thing baptized too. You know, if you give your heart to Jesus Christ, give me thine heart, you won't have a problem with this thing. Now, so I read you some words about grace, abundance, liberality, and bounty. It's abnormal, it's not natural for a Christian to be stingy, selfish, tightwad. Cheap. Oh, he's so tight he squeaks. I mean, if anybody ought to be able to lay the cash on the barrel head, these people did. And they were a lot poorer than you. Take your Bible, go over here to James chapter 5. It's abnormal. It's not natural for a Christian to be stingy, to be tight, to be cheap. cheep, 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 cheep. You know? Come on, lighten up a little bit. I mean, it'll all be over in another 20 minutes. Okay? Look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5. You need to get something here. Because some of you struggle with this thing. Oh, yes, I know, church this size, you struggle with it. Some of you struggling, some of you holding back. I haven't talked to your preacher. He hasn't told me much about you. Much. Yeah. But I know how it is in my church. Look at James chapter 5. Look at verse number 1. Go to now, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Tribulation application. You understand that. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered. Cankered? What is that? I suppose got cancer or rusted or something. He says, your gold and silver is cankered and the rust of them, boy, yeah, there it is. The rust of them shall be a witness against you, and ye shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Watch this. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. You know what? Hoarding and heaping up treasures and holding back is a sign of the last days. I mean, I know this is tribulation, but the tribulation is right around the corner. Amen. And the things, you know this, 2 Timothy chapter 3, etc., that the things that are Paul says, know that the, in the last days perilous times for come shall for men shall be blah 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 blah, and he goes and gives that list. You know those things are just increasing in frequency, and those things are around right now. And this I know is tribulation, as I said, but it's around right now, right before the rapture. Christians are heaping together. I mean, you got all your little accounts. I'm not against that. I'm not against having a savings account. I mean, I think there's some wisdom in those things. But don't you take away from God. And don't you hold back. I know people that are doing that. I know they're doing it right now. And I'll tell you what, I see what's happening in their life. Good people. Just good people. You're here. Praise the Lord. You're a blessing to your pastor. And I got good people, but I know some people aren't given and are starting to hold back. Say, you check on them? Nope. But I know they are. And their marriages are getting rough. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Look over here to Ezekiel chapter 7, quickly. Ezekiel chapter 7. Ezekiel chapter 7. That's in right before Daniel. Look at Ezekiel chapter 7. You following me this morning? Yes, Pastor. Amen. Look at Ezekiel 7. Look at verse 19. He says, they shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be what? Removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. Give you one more. Look at Zephaniah chapter 1. Zephaniah chapter 1. Zephaniah is talking about the last days again. But look at Zephaniah chapter 1. Hold your place in 2 Corinthians. And where is that? I thought I had a marker on that thing. Always have a hard time finding Zephaniah. Look at verse 18. Neither their gold, silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. Well, so you better give it now. Amen. Did you know, listen, I got a gold ring here. I think this is gold. I don't even know what the carat is on this baby. I think it's wore off. I've been married so long. How long you been married? Forever. Now, my wife and I, we We've been married 35 years. But that thing we bought for $100, 7 years. We didn't have wedding rings. I used a pop top. And she used her mother's grandmother's ring or something. And we didn't have enough money to buy a ring. We bought these down to pennies for $100 a piece back in Bismarck. How much?
Okay. 70?
Oh, okay. I had to pay for them. I don't know what this thing's worth now. I mean, gold. I mean, that's pretty good gold. I tell you what, if you got, I don't wear it when I go down to Mexico. I take it off because that's a lot of money to a lot of people in this world. You got gold.
I got a gold
tie tack. It's an Alaskan gold nugget. Pastor Blue gave it to me many years ago, and. I'm loaded, man. I mean, according to the world standards, Americans. Now, go back here. Let's go back. Now, I want to show you something else. Look over here, too, before I forget. And I got notes here this morning. I'm not shooting from the hip, okay? But I'm giving you some things that just pop into my mind also on this. I could preach on this all day. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. And I'd probably just start, you'd start peeling off. By the time we're gone, you know. Hebrews chapter 2. You know, have you ever read that scripture over there? And over there in Acts chapter 20, where Paul said that the Lord says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Remember that? You ever read that? Acts 20:35, if you want the reference. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. It is more blessed to give than receive. It is a blessing to give. It really is. To see somebody happy, someone have a need met, just to be a blessing to someone. Oh. And by the way, don't give. You going to give? Don't give to get. Let God take care of that business.
Well, I tried tithing. And it didn't work.
Who said it was supposed to work? Where do you get that? You just do it. And we're not even talking. I mean, I'm hitting tithing this morning. The passage here is above tithing. It's a special offering. Like you take for me. I always preach this at a meeting on Sunday school. No, I don't. I was preaching for Brother Sowell one time. And I said, some of you are so tight, I know, and you put here, when you give an offering, here's what you do. You got these, you go like this, and you go like this, so they can't see the denomination. And you put a little dollar bill in there. And I said that. And that night, Brother Sowell, I was preaching that night. And that night, he'd already given me a love offering, gave it to me before the service. I didn't look at it. But he said, we're going to take another offering tonight. I take another one. So they took that offering, and the usher, the counters came back to the preachers. We've never seen so many crinkled. Twenty. Ain't it great to be saved? Amen. I'm glad you're laughing because I'm going to stick it in here in just a second. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Look at verse number 10. 2:10. He tasted death for every man, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 10. For it became him for whom all are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing, say the next two words. What?
Many sons.
Thank you. Many sons to glory. You know, God gave one son, and he got many sons. God says, boy, it's more blessed to give than to receive. He proved it. He gave his only begotten son. And look what he got. Ugh. But he got many sons. Look back here to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. You know, we have missions conferences, and I've had them. And I honestly, there ought to be no need for a missions conference. I like to have missionaries in. In fact, we got a missionary preaching this morning for back in Missoula. But because God's people ought to be in tune with the needs. Your preacher reads missionary letters and brings various requests before you and all that, and you got a whole board out there. There ought to be no need for that. We ought to be in tune with that type of stuff as Bible believers. But of course, in the Laodicean church period, I feel that a lot of us, many of us, have Laodicean in us. We need periodic stirring about this thing, and especially in light of what's going on right now. Now, look over here in Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to get to my outline here pretty soon. what do we got? About 10 minutes, brother? Okay. This is a Sunday school lesson. Okay. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Yes, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And notice verse number 24, I think. Yes. No. Yes. No, actually 19 is where I want you to see. Okay, watch this. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, gold and silver, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And here the Lord lays it on us. For where your treasure is, there, ooh, ouch, will your heart be also. God knows how to lay it on us, doesn't he? He says the love of money. Look back here to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look there real quick. He says, labor not to be rich. Seize from your own wisdom, for riches make themselves wings. Did you ever find that? You know, you over there in Haggai, they make money and put it in their pocket. And I mean, they have money, but they make money, but they really don't have anything. Ever read that? Like you put money in your pocket and it feels like it's got a hole in it. Tight wads. Look over here to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse number 9. Oh, my friends. Oh, look at verse number 9. But they that will be rich. Come on, that ought, labor not to be rich. Make money. You know why you make money? Did you ever read Ephesians chapter 4? Well, let's go there real quick. Hold your place here. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible's full of it. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. And you're holding your place in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 1 Timothy chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 4, look at this thing. Ephesians chapter 4, and look at verse number 28. Let him that stole steal no more. Amen. So if you're stealing the Lord's tithe, you're a thief, you know, and don't steal anymore. But rather let him labor, amen, working with his hands the thing which is good. You can make some money, right? That he may have some money to give to him that needeth. Praise God for it. There's a lot of needs out there. You work so you can give. Pay your bills. Clothe your kids. Our kids were raised on Salvation Army and Goodwill. Those clothes. Now you got to have all these designer clothes. I don't even know what Gap is. I didn't even know what Gap was until about 5 years ago. My kids bought me a Gap t-shirt. I liked it. I says, hey, go down to Walmart and give me one of those Gaps. Well, you can't. Because you got to have a special store for Gap. I thought Walmart would have a Gap
shirt.
I like those shirts. Pockets here. You got to have the designer clothes. You know, Banks or something. Somebody Banks or Tommy Hilfiger or all that kind of stuff. Eddie Bauer. Look, we're back here to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Watch it. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. I had a good friend. He was my best friend. In fact, he discipled me. He was pastoring a church. And he came into his living room while I was down visiting him one time and said, I have a desire to be wealthy. Boom. I just wanted to fall over. Because all these scriptures came to me. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. Hello. 5 years later, he was divorced out of the ministry. I mean, and one of the biggest messes ever. Had a desire. Labor not to be rich. He that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, etc., etc. Now, look back here, and he erred from the faith. That's no doubt about it. Go back here again. Now, let's go back here to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Oh, I'm just talking about giving. Now, look at these people. They were generous. My, were they generous. Verse number 1, more, they were generous during their affliction. They were getting persecuted. Look at it. He says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. Look back here to Acts chapter 17, quickly. Acts chapter 17. A great trial this church gave while it was in being persecuted and being in what the Bible says, affliction. And they gave. And they were very poor. Deep poverty. Penury. Just like that widow that gave her the two mites. Acts chapter 17. Look at verse number 1. And let's go to verse number 2. Well, look at verse number 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Thessalonica is in Macedonia. And he says, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude. And of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them, and you understand the rest of the story. I mean, they got over there to Jason's house, and they messed up. This church was in affliction and suffering and being persecuted. I want you to see 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. And notice verse number, chapter 1 and verse number, someplace there. I got it. Here, I'm getting there. And 6, thank you, brother. 1 Thessalonians 1, 6. And he says, and ye became followers of us, Paul says, and of the Lord, having received the word in much, say it, affliction with joy. Look at chapter 3, verse number 3, if you don't mind. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 3. It says that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For you know, yourselves know that we are appointed thereof. Go back here to 2 Corinthians in chapter 8. These Macedonian, or these Thessalonican, the churches of Macedonia, were very liberal in their giving in the time of persecution and being very poor. It says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. The circumstances did not dictate their giving. And I'm afraid that right now many American Christians Let's just go to the Bible believers. Well, let's just go down to Blessed Hope Baptist Church because that's where we are. Are letting circumstances dictate their giving. I'm sure some of that is happening. Maybe not with you. Maybe somebody that's not here, they've already had enough of me. But they shouldn't. There's still a lot of needs out there. Now. Look at verse number 3. For to their power, their ability, I bear them record. Yea, and beyond their power, they were what? Willing of themselves. You know, somebody said, where there's a will, there's a way. Right? You can always dig up. Listen, you got a nice tie. You got a nice suit. I mean, you're dressed nice. Our closets are packed. You aren't even ever going to wear some of that stuff. Amen, that you bought at Christopher Banks. There you go, there's another one. Or Sears or Penny's. Or whatever. They were willing of themselves. Where there's a will, there's a way. You know what I'm saying? They were giving beyond what they were able to give. What I say, if you got a hard time, go sell something. Have a rummage sale. Quit drinking coffee. What? Preacher, now you're gone to meddling. $5 for a cup of coffee. Crazy, man. And I do it. I'm a Starbucks man. Caribou while I'm here. I want to fit into the landscape. And adjust to the culture here. And but $5 or four, $3 for a cup of coffee or whatever. It used to be a nickel. Some of you remember that and tell us how old you are. Used to be a nickel. And then you could get a free refill. And it was mountain grown. Get Folgers, it's mountain grown. Remember Mrs. Olson? Now we don't ever buy that anymore. We got to have the beans. We're a bunch of Mexicans. Sorry. Hey, go without something. Go without that pop or that. It's not good for you anyway. Amen. Just go without something. Do a little sacrificing. Hello. Sell something. Sell a kid. There's people all over this world that want kids. Sell your guns. Sell them to me. I said that in my church one time, and the guy came up with me with a nice .40 caliber after the service, just happened to have in his pickle, was going to sell it, and I got a screaming deal on it. Sell something. Amen. Sit down with your spouse and lighten up. Talk together. Talk and have a little communication. About one of the three things that'll bust up a marriage: finances, females, and family. Those are the three worst things. Amen. Money, marriage, and mother-in-law. Money, morality, and mother-in-law. Which way you want to look at it? Hey, sell something. Have a rummage sale. Do lighten up so you can give. Got about one more minute. They were generous, not only in their affliction, they were generous in their affections. Look at this, verse number 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They loved the brethren. They love the brethren. You know, some of these people that go across the sea and are as missionaries, and they got to really raise a lot of money these days. My son had to raise, I think, $5,000 That's a lot of money. Most of us don't make that much a month. He had to have that to be over there. And if we love the brethren, we'll give and see the need. I'll say verse number 5. And it says, "And this they did, not as we hoped," but watch this now. And here it'll do it. "They were generous in their allegiance." Look at it. "This they did, not as we hoped, but first gave themselves," their own selves, "to the Lord." Consecration. If you'll give yourself to the Lord unreservedly, you know, that's what's called consecration. What are you about to think about that this morning? The Lord did. He gave Himself unreservedly. Verse number 9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye, through His poverty, might be rich." You're rich today in the things that money can't buy. You can't redeem your soul with money. You can't get forgiveness of sins with money. You can't get by heaven with money. You are rich in the things that money can't buy. All right, let's be givers. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. I mean, when the offering today, come on. When the plate goes out, start laughing. And start giving. Amen. We had an offering box, and we used to do that way for an offering. Not for very long. It didn't work. Nobody would ever put anything in, but the guy put on there, "The Lord loves a cheerful giver." Never got maybe one check a week. I was passing the plate, man. But the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Look at chapter 9 and look at verse number 7, or verse number 6. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." And the last verse, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." And God will take care of you, ladies and gentlemen. He will take care of you. And having food and raiment, we ought to just be content anyway. Now, Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. And God, this thing about giving, it's just really, being stifled by looking around us. God, help us not to look around us. Certainly, Lord, we ask you to give us wisdom about what is around us and how to respond. But God, get our eyes on you and rededicate ourselves to Jesus Christ, realizing that we wouldn't even be here today if it weren't for you, dear Father, giving your Son giving us things money cannot buy. Now, so bless, move. Do something, please. Oh, God, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. Thank you.
Wait, I'm still moving to second
offer. Yeah. Amen.